I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
October 21st, 1978, Melbourne, Australia. 20 eyewitnesses report an erratically moving green light in the dark sky. That same night, 20-year-old Frederick Valentik had rented a single-engine Cessna airplane. Shortly after 9 p.m. at an altitude of 4,500 feet, he radioed Melbourne Air Traffic Control to report an object orbiting around him, and at times, coming straight for him. He asks Flight Service Specialist Steve Roby if there's any other traffic in the area. Roby reports that there is none. Valentik reports that the object seems to be playing some sort of game with him, flying over and under him at high speed. Due to its speed, he cannot identify the object other than it is not an aircraft and has a green light and is sort of metallic looking. The last 17 seconds of his transmission is obscured by a strange, metallic-sounding pulse. Before it ends, Valentik was never heard from again.
My chat last week with the one and only Robbie Williams was so good, we decided to bring you a second episode. Robbie and I talked about so many things for so long, we couldn't fit it all into last week's show. We talked about aliens, UFOs, some stuff we couldn't make public, and eventually we got onto the paranormal. So today's episode is not so much about UFOs and aliens as about strange things he experienced and just how mysterious the universe is. So enjoy part two of my chat with Robbie Williams. Now, I want to know when you first experienced anything or, you know, what you saw or whatever it was, because I don't know.
I only got told these stories when I was older, but when I was really young and I can't remember, my parents used to tell me the stories about... they used to run a pub called the Red Lion in Burslem in Stoke-on-Trent. It's an old, old pub. And one day, my dad was either opening up or closing the afternoon session in the pub. And I was stood at the window waving to somebody in the bar. And he said, who are you waving to? And he said, I said, it's such and such and such and such. And he went, oh, OK. Well, why don't you just go over and say ta-ra to them? And I waved like that and I went walking to them and I stopped. And he said, what's up? And he said, Dad, they've got no hands. And it was two people that had died in a car crash, like weeks before, months before, that I was waving to. And it sent a
they
sort of...
They couldn't wave back because they had no hands.
Yeah. sent a shiver down his spine.
Oh, really?
And then there was all of these friends that I had when
so
I was
So as a child,
three.
You were very, very susceptible to seeing...
Yeah.
Seeing ghosts and spirits and things like that.
I think so.
Yeah, because children are much more open to it. Like, children and animals see things. I don't remember seeing anything, but it's great that you did.
Well, I remember when I was 6 or 7 or 8, having a ghetto blaster, and there being no batteries in it, and there being it not being plugged to the wall, and it's still working.
Gosh.
And I couldn't figure out how it was happening. And yeah. I know for a fact that there was no power supply for that thing, yet it was in my hands and it was still going. And then there was another time, now I was about 8 or 9, I was out on my BMX, and all of a sudden I had this overwhelming knowledge or feeling or understanding that none of this is real. And it absolutely terrified me.
Yeah, I can understand that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can really understand that feeling because they say none of it is real. It's only our perception of reality that makes us think it's real.
Well, if I touch you, that's real. But there's something about this that's all fake.
Yeah.
That's a matrixy kind of deal. And I can remember that I pedaled back to my house to be near my mum because I was terrified of what had just dawned on me. I couldn't figure out A, what it meant, and B, why I felt so scared of it.
Yeah, I often wonder if we are living in a false reality and we're just like a big computer game. You know, we're doing it now, aren't we? The kids make up their
Sim City and all of that business.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe we could be it on a huge scale. Well, who knows?
Yeah. So those are sort of like the early experiences of weirdness.
That's
I had a really
incredible.
Weird time in St. John's Wood.
Oh, yeah, I live near there.
You live in Primrose Hill, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. You live on Guy Chambers Street.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, my neighbour.
Yeah. I had a really weird time in Primrose Hill, I'll tell you about. It's not UFO related, but it's weird related. Okay, so I moved in with my then girlfriend into this old house, big old house. It was a dad's house, and she was Lady Jackie Hamilton Smythe. She was Smythe with posh people, and she was Smith with everybody else. And she's a lovely person. We had a lot of fun, and moved into this house, and instantly I picked up on it being weird and dark and having an energy. And I was 20 or 21 at the time. And the first time it manifested itself into something I'll call physical, I was leaving to go to the gym and I said, "See you later, babe." And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Ghetto Blaster came on, you know, like music started. And then they, you know, those Bannum locks?
Yeah.
Well, one of them opened and shut, even though it was locked. Yeah. So I went off to the gym, had a weird time there too. And I was, you know, I was doing a lot of coke at the time. So I was sort of attracting negativity, let's say. And then I'd be in the house and I'd see footsteps go up the stairs. And I'd be like, "Did anybody hear that or see that? Am I the only one that saw that?" And then it got progressively worse and progressively worse.
Did she not see any of this?
Yeah, she did. She thought it was her granddad. So then I'd get in the car and whatever it was would jump in the back seat.
Oh, my God.
And it sort of like got darker and darker and darker and darker. And so much so that 2 months in, I'll cut out the stories that I'll save for the film. But I couldn't deal with it anymore. Yeah. And it got really sort of like, if this stays with me, I was going to commit suicide.
Didn't you not think of, I suppose you didn't then, saging?
No, I didn't know about saging.
Okay.
Anyway, I got up one day and there was a dark mist at the edge of the bed. And I was too scared to go and brush my teeth because I'd have to walk through this mist. And I got up and I just went, "I'm going now and I'm not coming back to this house. Are you coming with me?" And we left and we went to the Swiss Cottage Marriott Hotel. Anyway, you would think that's the end of the story. It's not.
They followed you?
No, they didn't. But I was speaking to my A&R guy. And I'd just met him. This is 25 years ago. A&R guy, Chris Briggs. And this whole ghosty thing had just happened. And I was explaining to him, A&R guy is artist and repertoire. He's the sort of go-between between a record company and artist.
Yeah.
And he's become a father figure to me. And I'm explaining to him about what had happened. And I said, rather dramatically, "If it had stayed with me, I would have had to kill myself." And that's where you look at somebody and they're either on your side or they think you're mental or a bit of both. And he's sort of silent and I'm thinking, oh, God, he thinks I'm mental. And he went, "I didn't suffer it for 2 months." He said, "I suffered it for 2 years and in the end it put me in a coma."
Really?
And I said, well, what did you do? He said, "I left and went to the Swiss Cottage Marriott Hotel." It's the same road.
Oh, my God.
Right? So it turns out it's the same road, same sort of energy, same darkness, same sadness and all of the above. Turns out that the Duke of Westminster bought the land off the church. The church had put a Black Death burial site.
Oh, no wonder.
Underneath the houses. And the tube, when they were digging, they uncovered all of these bodies. So the tube underneath this part in St. John's Wood, your ears pop because you go underneath all of the dead bodies. Do you know what? I think that since I've had the kids, weirdness has kind of stopped. But there'd be sort of like lots of weird things that would happen all of the time.
How old are your kids?
6, 4, and 9 months old.
Oh, gosh, you've been busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think they have any little friends they can see and things like that, especially 6 years old?
Well, I used to speak with Ted when I was giving a snuggle before going to sleep, and I think every 3 months I'd be like, darling, can you remember before you were born? Can you remember being in mummy's tummy? She doesn't. You know, I was wondering if she could remember what happened before she arrived on the planet, yeah. If there was anything, but she doesn't. We've got this house that's 1,000 years old, and it's in Wiltshire. And Teddy's room in particular is fucking weird. It's weird.
Really?
We've moved her out of it now.
Yeah.
But so she doesn't have any invisible friends. She doesn't speak about anything spooky, but, you know, I mean, we've got a few houses here and there because I've been lucky and done all right for myself. And I said to Ted, where do you prefer living?
Yeah.
I said, do you prefer living in Los Angeles? Do you prefer living in London? Or do you prefer living in Wiltshire? And she went, well, Daddy, I like everywhere apart from the Wiltshire house because my bedroom's scary.
Oh,
and it's like, oh, yeah, it is, babe. I didn't say that. I didn't confirm her fears for her.
You need to smudge it and get a priest in.
Oh, well, I've got... She's in a different room now. What happens when we die?
Oh, I tell you what happens when we die. I saw this great programme on dark matter, and dark matter is all around us. They know it's here, but we can't see it, touch it, feel it, but we know it's here because it holds the universe together. It's like when they said on this programme, if you imagine the sun and all the planets around it, you'd think the planets nearest the sun went fastest and out there went slowest, but they all move around the sun at the same time, which to us is impossible. So they know it's held together with dark matter. And this guy said, he said, for all we know, we are living with a dark matter world. There could be dark matter beings. And I thought to myself, that's it. We die, we become dark matter. That's the spirits.
What, we join in? Or
yeah.
are we physical
we're an
there?
Energy.
Or
we're...
Do you think that our energy is conscious?
Yes.
Do you think that we know we're us?
Yes, I'm sure.
Okay, good. That's something to look forward to.
So what do you think then?
Well, it's constantly evolving. And I'm not sure on anything, of course, like... None of us are,
yeah.
But I don't think it's the end.
No, I definitely think it's not the end.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's something, and it's the next adventure after this one.
I saw something, I've not gone, I've just gone next door.
I've not gone, I've just gone next door. Yeah, we go next door.
Yeah.
I hope it's easier next door.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, me too.
We get the hard stuff here, and if we can get through it and be really good and come out happy... good person on top, then our next door is easy for us. My guest today has been the wonderful Robbie Williams. Thank you so much, Robbie.
Absolute pleasure, darling. It's lovely to see you.
It's lovely to see you.
Great
too.
Having a chat with a like-minded person.
Yes, definitely. That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath and our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk. Subject matter, alien nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Jo Wood. And I believe.
What makes a stand-up comedian tick? How do they handle heckles, bad gigs? Are they brave or just maladjusted individuals? And what makes them want to do this impossible job in the first place?
Yeah, I honestly thought I couldn't do it. This is going to be sad for everybody. I'm going to die.
I can be a real shark about previews.
2 weeks ago, I was sat on this couch saying to my wife that I think I want to give up.
A guy in the front row, when I told him I was bi, got his ball sack out and said, why don't you suck this then?
Join me, Nathan Cassidy, stand-up comedian and Bachelor of Science in Psychology, a first from Bristol University, as I delve into the dark recesses of the comedian's psyche in Psychomedy, the new podcast from Pod People Productions. But be warned, it's not always pretty.
But I've been thinking recently about what makes me a stand-up comedian, because I think people
We've all been thinking that.
That's Psychomedy, coming soon to Apple Podcasts, Spotify UK, or wherever you get your podcasts.